tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday, the 8th of May, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, it's election day over here in Britain, and everybody is talking about the local elections, but we are not going to be talking about the local elections today because we have something much more important to discuss, and that is we have Mr. Grandpa Dan with us again today, Friday, special day, Grandpa Dan's Day, all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How is life treating you?
A special designated day just for me. I feel so very special, and I looked at today's rage bait story, and I saw this story the other day, and I thought, oh, Sven is bound to do a show on this story. I thought of you instantly. I saw it, and here we are today. And I looked to see what we're covering, and voila, it's the story I saw the other day. So I am already well versed and ready to roll.
It's another whale story as well, but at least it's not trannies. It's another Black Lives Matter story, I guess you could say, from Wales, which seems to be stuck in a time warp from 2021. Well, the headline of this is Welsh nurseries are told to report racist toddlers to the police. So that's daycare, basically. Daycare teachers have been told that they should be watching out for racist toddlers and reporting them to the police. Nurseries in Wales have been instructed to report incidents of toddlers engaging in racist behaviour to the police, in accordance with taxpayer-funded guidelines backed by the Welsh Labour-run British government. The guidelines are reported to contain an extensive list of instructions for childcare workers to respond to racist incidents involving babies, toddlers and children below the age of 12, and assess if an event would constitute a hate crime before reporting the case to the British police. It is stated the instructions' ultimate goals is to turn childcare centres into anti-racist environments in accordance to a series of woke initiatives and precepts spearheaded by the leftist government in the devolved Welsh Regional Parliament. And I just will mention one thing to do with the election, and that is the Labour Party in Wales have just conceded defeat. But at the time of recording this, we don't know yet if they've been defeated by Plaid Cymru or by Reform, and I suspect it will probably be Plaid Cymru. But if it is Reform, I shall be most happy about it. And I think this is one of the reasons why the Welsh people no longer want the Labour government. I mean, talking about sanctuary cities, wanting to turn the place into an anti-racist country by 2030. And what do they mean by that? Well, they mean by arresting your child, effectively. I mean, I was looking at this and I was thinking, well, what could be a racist incident involving a baby or a toddler? And I thought, surely they can't mean simply pointing out that somebody looks different. But that's probably what it is. If a child points out and says, that child over there has a different skin colour to me, or that child over there reminds me of chocolate, or what is that child over there? He's different to me. All of those things are completely innocent things that a child would ask upon seeing somebody else that what looks like another toddler, but that is completely different to them. It's completely natural that they would pick up on the difference and they would point it out. What they're saying here, I think, is that's racist. If they notice, that's racist. That's bad. Therefore, the child must be punished. And when they say they have to assess whether it would constitute a hate crime, well, that means basically using language which could be abusive, threatening or insulting. And of course, the child is just going to repeat the language that he sees on the television, that he hears his parents using. So it really means they're going to be watching these children. And if they see the child uses an out-of-date word, for instance, abbreviates the word Pakistani or something similar. Now, I think it's the parents that are then going to be watched or reported to the police. But they do say here that it should actually be the child that is reported to the police. So when it's black children, they're desperate not to criminalise them. For instance, Rudy Kibana, who murdered, massacred those three girls at Southport last year. He was black, obviously, and he was caught with knives before that, and they didn't prosecute him, they didn't arrest him. The police, in fact, took him back to his parents and spoke to his parents about putting the knives somewhere that he couldn't actually get to them. This is after he was caught with a knife on the bus. And they did that because they don't want to criminalise black youngsters, because the thinking is, if you criminalise black youngsters when they're young, they've got no choice but to turn to a life of crime. When it comes to white youngsters, white toddlers, there's none of this, oh, you don't want to criminalise them. Straight away, you've actually got guidelines here saying you should criminalise them. You should see whether you should report this as a hate crime. If it is a hate crime, you must report it, because we're trying to create an anti-racist environment. So you can see there that there's two categories, basically. If you're black, they don't want to criminalise you. If you're white, they do want to criminalise you. And they want to criminalise you for quote-unquote racism, although how a baby could be racist, I just don't know. Grandpa, I've gone on a little bit there, but what are your thoughts on this?
Well, anti-racist just means anti-white, and I mean, they, you know, it's a word spell. You're not supposed to think of it that way. You're supposed to, it's dressed up to sound positive, but it's obvious, because as you've alluded to, it's an automatic given how this is going to be interpreted. I mean, who this is going to be enforced on. If you have a diverse daycare full of kids, you know what demographic this is going to be. It's not going to be applied equally. We know this. It's an automatic given. It goes without saying. This is going to be applied uniformly, unilaterally against the white kids. Now, I saw elsewhere, I saw the story before, and I saw it somewhere else. It wasn't in Breitbart. And they pointed out that, you know, they can actually only do enforcement action if the child is, I think it's over the age of 10, if I remember correctly. So, I mean, it's not like they're going to be able to haul 7-year-olds off to jail for this. Although, you know, it's Britain, so they may have to change the law so they can be sure and catch these little potential terrorists at a young age. What an illegitimate government looks like. I mean, this is when we're going to get into some more details, obviously, as we go through the story. But again, can you look at this and read a story like this and think, yeah, this government represents me? You know, no, it doesn't. And so it always comes back to, well, what do? You were talking about they just had a vote. And I don't know who won. I don't keep up with the British politics, but I can 100% guarantee whoever won, nothing is going to change. I mean, they may change some of this more radical in-your-face stuff and tone that down a little bit. But the overall trajectory of what your government does and what decisions they make, and as far as how much they care about you, I can 100% guarantee you it's not going to change, because it's a systemic issue. And everyone across the West in these democracy systems is now having to grapple with this reality. We're really seeing it here in the U.S. And, you know, the fact that it's a systemic problem. It's not about which party. Yes, I mean, the same thing. You know, you've got people here, you know, that are unhappy with this Iran war. But if you put the Democrats in there, you're going to basically still get the same thing. They may tone one part of it down, and they'll just do more gay stuff, more stuff like what we're reading here. If you have the Democrats in, the overall trajectory remains the same. People voted for Donald Trump thinking it was going to be this radical change, and you know, it's not. So the point I'm making is that obviously the government doesn't represent the people in these countries. So what you have to do, you know, because that always leads people to say, well, what do you do? Again, quit, stop participating, you know, and right here, how could you read a story like that? If I lived in Wales and I had children, how can I read a story like this and take my kids and drop them off at daycare and know they're going to be subjected to this? You know, you stop sending them there. You stop participating in it. Oh, but you know, we have to work, and then you quit paying some of your bills. You do what you got to do. Your kids should be your number one priority. I cannot imagine somehow justifying to myself subjecting my kids to this sort of program, which is designed for self-hatred. This is to program your kids early towards self-hatred. You know, it's not anti-race. They try to dress it up to sound positive. What this is about is indoctrinating the white children to hate themselves, to see themselves in a negative light. And at the end of the day, I always say the devil gives you a choice. And you people still have to choose to drop their kids off in the daycare center. If you know, you read a story like this, it's in your face, you know what they're doing, and you still choose to drop your kids off at the daycare center, you know, you're in that sense, you're still propping up the system because you're still participating in it.
Well, I think part of the problem could be, I mean, it's very, very difficult for people to afford to have a mother at home raising the children now, and they have to put them in the daycare center so that they can both go out to work, so that they can afford to pay for the child. I mean, this is the problem. I'm sure a lot of people would rather not have to put their child in the daycare center, but unfortunately they do, just because it's just for financial reasons. And when you were pointing out there about the age of criminal responsibility, I mean, that's a good point. I think in England it might be about the age of 10, something like that. So if you're talking of a racist toddler, or a toddler that's been accused of being racist, and you have to report them for a hate crime, well, they can't be held criminally responsible until the age of 10. So what would be the point of reporting it? Well, it's to put a black mark by their name, isn't it? To put a black mark by the parents, and to get them involved in the legal system from an early age, even though they can't actually be criminally responsible to the age of 10. So if they can't be criminally responsible, how can they be held responsible for, making so-called racist comments? I mean, they have done studies on babies, particularly white babies, they seem to do these studies on, and they quite clearly show a preference for their own racial group, their own extended family. And that's because they perceive them as looking the same as themselves and looking the same as their parents. That this in-group preference is instinctual. But there was a Newsweek article a decade or so back, and it was saying that this proves that these children are racist, and that they must have been indoctrinated with white supremacy from an early age because they prefer their own kind than somebody else's kind. Of course, they didn't do the study with black children, and I'm sure black children would also rather be alongside members of their same ethnicity, because it's only natural. It's the survival instinct, isn't it? You're going to be safest with somebody that looks like yourself. And it's instinctual. It's not indoctrination, which is what the Welsh government seem to believe it is. The Telegraph, which is where this news comes from, detailed that some of the anti-racist instructions listed in the guidelines include calling the UK's 999 emergency number. So they're not saying just report this. They're saying literally it's an emergency. It's the equivalent of if there's a bank being robbed, or you've just seen somebody shot in the street. You know, that's the sort of thing that you have to call a 999 emergency number for. You know, if you've had something stolen from you, something like that, then you just have to report that to the police, and you get a record that you have reported it to the police. But the fact that they're saying you need to call 999 emergency shows you that they just put words, and hurty words are more important than people's houses getting robbed, or home invasions or muggings or things like that. So the guidelines include calling the 999 emergency number, or speaking to the police about the racist incident and taking actions alongside law enforcement, alongside the police, while ensuring that all records of the incident are detailed. Should an event not be deemed as a hate crime, the childcare workers are instead urged to take other actions, such as offering age-appropriate learning support opportunities for the perpetrator. So they're still being called a perpetrator, even if they just said they haven't actually carried out a hate crime. Or refer to a flowchart to explore disciplinary routes, should the toddlers involved exhibit resistance. So they're now talking about disciplining these toddlers. So I guess that means putting them on the naughty step, refusing to speak to them, not allowing them to have their milk at break time. I mean, how could you discipline a toddler for saying something that you think that they shouldn't have said, which doesn't actually meet the criteria for being a hate crime anyway? I mean, if it's a hate crime, that has to be reported to the police. If it's not a hate crime, then you have to punish the child anyway, which is effectively what they're saying here. And that is obviously going to be perceived as unfair by the child. Grandpa, what do you make of this? It's disgusting, really, isn't it?
It's child abuse. And, you know, getting back to what you were just saying a while ago about people having no choice, you know, people are going to have to adapt. You know, I mean, this is the reality. And I think, you know, there's multiple different approaches people could take. You know, an example I was jotting down, you know, example of this, you know, why don't people learn from the Jewish community? They have their own community where they're not, I can guarantee you the Jewish kids are not having to go to these daycare centers to do this. Why? Because they're running their own daycare centers. Heck, they have their own police forces in some areas that only respond to them. They have their own ambulances that only respond to them. And people, you know, for them. And people look at that and get, well, why did the Jews get their own? Well, instead of having that reaction, go, hey, why don't we do that too? You know, I mean, people are going to have to adapt. We're going to have to. White people in general, when you see a story like this, you know, you're going to have to take a different approach. Sitting here and just, you know, people going, well, I got no choice. I'll drop my kid off to learn to hate themselves and to be subjected to being called a perpetrator and having 911, that's our version, 999 there for y'all, you know, called on my kid. The cops called on your seven-year-old. I mean, no, you're going to have to take, people are going to have to collectively, you know, they're going to have to look at some of these other groups and see how they operate. Like I said, a good example, if I was living here, I would be getting together with, for instance, my church and saying, let's look at the Jewish community and do what they're doing. Let's start our own daycare center. Let's start, you know, let's come up with our own community center where our kids aren't subjected to this nonsense. And it's going to take action. You know, just sitting around going, well, I hope the government quits abusing my child. Yeah, you know, that's not an actual fix. That's not doing anything. Look and see what other communities are doing. Look at the Islamic community. I guarantee you, same thing. They've got their own centers where they do their own daycare. White people are running around out here doing their own individualistic things and waiting for the multicultural society to work out. And it's you see how it's going. Do what they're doing. You know, I mean, there's nothing more important in your life than your kids, not your job, not paying for a car payment. None of those, all of those things. If those are not secondary commitments to your kids, then you got your perspectives wrong. And again, I understand people got to work and I'm not minimizing that, but, you know, just say, well, nothing I can do about it. I cannot imagine ever taking your child, your flesh and blood, and dropping them off at a place. And you know, this is the curriculum. This is the sort of thing they're going to be subjected to, that they could potentially have, if they say something wrong, your seven-year-old could have the cops called on them. And then, just the British, what mentality does it take to be a British cop? To be a bobby? I just can't imagine it. You know, I mean, you have to, I don't know if someone called 911, you know, which again, that's our emergency number here in the U.S. And I mean, the most leftist city you can imagine, pick the most blue city you can imagine. Still, even that, if you called the cops on the emergency number and they show up and it's like, what's the emergency? Why are we here? And, you got some daycare worker going, that seven-year-old said a naughty word to one of the other kids. I mean, American cops are probably going to wind up tasing the daycare worker, tell them to stop resisting while they beat them and take them to jail for something. I mean, you know, it's not the appropriate response either, but they would be looking at, they would probably get a complaint filed on the daycare worker for abusing the emergency number. And here in the UK, in Wales, it's actually encouraged What an absolute farce of a system. What an absolute, I mean, it's just an absolute joke. While they're running around doing this, there's actual crimes taking place out there that they just can't be bothered. And people are still paying taxes to support that. People are still participating in the system and acting like we could just somehow tinker with it and it would be fixed. It's not going to be fixed. Yeah, I mean, again, I'm always interested in answers, in solutions. You know, just whenever we approach these stories, you know, I'm always looking in the background and go, okay, well, what's the answer? You know, it's easy to bitch and complain and say we don't like it, but what is the answer? And again, I think people need to look at other communities, the Jewish community, the Islamic community, the Muslim community, and say, well, what do these people do? Well, they have their own, you know, families. Where are the grandparents? You know, tell the grandparents, hey, can I drop the kid off on these days? Why not the church? Why doesn't the churches have their own daycare center where you do have other options with your kid? Well, we don't want to do that because that would take some effort and inconvenience. Come on, you know, people complain about the anti-white agenda and white people don't want to get off their ass and do anything to counter and say, okay, well, what are some other options we can do to support our community and do something different? Whether, again, whether that's from the church or whatever, people need to say, okay, well, we can do this. This is what this community over here does. Why don't we copy their example instead of going, oh, it's not fair that they're doing their own thing. No, you need to do your own thing. You got to get out of this system. I cannot fathom putting a child into a daycare and you know that this is what they're doing. There's just some things I can't imagine, and that's one of them.
Well, I guess you could try and set up an independent daycare center, but you'd have to be very careful. If you said, well, we're setting up this daycare center because we are opposed to the government's own one, they're going to say, oh, what, you're opposed to anti-racism. Are you a racist then? Because if you say you don't agree with their anti-racist teachings, they're just going to accuse you of being a racist. If you say, well, we want to set up a Christian daycare center, then they're going to want to look at everything that's going on there, look at what's being taught. And again, I think you would have other people joining there from other ethnicities. When you have a Church of England school, for instance, it's now full of Muslims. They will end up going to the Church of England school. And of course, you can't say, well, this is a daycare centre just for white people, because again, you'll be accused of being racist. You won't be accused of being racist if you say, well, this is a daycare centre for Jews. This is a Jewish daycare centre or this is a Muslim centre. But if you say, well, this is a white daycare center, you're going to be accused of being racist. Even if you said Indigenous British, you would be accused of being racist. You would be the one that gets reported for the hate crime if you were to try and do that. So I do understand why there is some difficulty with people resisting to this. But then again, people have to try, don't they? I mean, probably the best thing is just to call it independent daycare center. And don't go along with this. But then would you get the funding from the government? You'd have to get all your money from the parents. And, of course, the parents can't really afford it. And the daycare centre isn't going to be able to afford it if they don't get the grants from the government as well. So I can understand that there are problems with, you know, just trying to do it yourself, Grandpa. But I do take your point. Well, the text asks workers to question how much they understand what unconscious biases are and how competent they perceive themselves on addressing or reporting racism among children or adults. A risk assessment may be undertaken against the threat of racism within the context of what the guidelines reportedly define as a changing political context and racist demonstrations taking place across the UK. So clearly they're referring to protests against immigration there. They're not racist at all. They're protests against the immigration policy of the government. I don't think there would ever even be any racism at all in Britain if we didn't have a multicultural society full of people that are completely different to ourselves. That's been brought about by the government. I don't think racism existed when Britain was 99.9% white. There can't actually be any discrimination against other groups, can there, if there aren't any other groups there? Well, the guidelines reportedly state that since the Welsh childcare workforce is overwhelmingly white, well, that's because Wales is 95% white, nearly all of the staff will have had the privilege of not having to think about the day-to-day microaggressions and systemic and institutional racism. Well, that's because it's not a privilege. It's something that our parents ended up building the country for us, and then they bequeathed it to their children, and that's gone on and on for centuries. That's why we don't have to think about these things, not because we're privileged, but because our ancestors built this society for us, and it was built for us. It wasn't built for anyone else. The document also contains a series of woke diversity-related directives and suggests that childcare staff ask themselves how well do they understand what white privilege is and how it can affect their lives and that of others. I mean, it's really just total cultural Marxism here, and it's coming directly from the government. This isn't coming from a union. This isn't coming from a teachers' union. This is coming directly from the Welsh government. This is instructions that have been given to these daycare workers. Do they understand what unconscious biases are? And again, they're supposed to be applying that to toddlers as well. Do they understand that the toddler might have unconscious biases? Well, as I pointed out earlier, the toddler is going to have an instinctive in-group preference, and that is going to be based upon the child's own safety. That's to prevent harm coming to them. They have this inbuilt instinct to want to be amongst people of their own kind because they know that they're going to be less likely to harm them. It's a survival instinct more than anything else. Grandpa, what do you make of this?
Well, what we see here, we should go through this and kind of relating what we were just talking about in the last little segment here. These are all words. You know, you can be accused of being a racist. You can be called this and you can be called that. People are going to have to get over it. You know, at the end of the day, you say, okay, and I know it's Britain, so you could go to jail. Again, if people do not have children, have never had children of their own, maybe they can't relate to it. But when you have children of your own, that is one of those lines. If your children are threatened, you know, an example of this would be if somebody comes up and pulls a knife out and says, give me the keys to your car, I'm going to steal your car. You know, you're going to weigh your options there. But at the end of the day, your car is insured and you're liable to say, okay, well, the best course of action here is just toss them the keys to the car and they can be on their way. You report it to the police and go on with your life, report it to the insurance company and deal with it. If somebody pulls out a knife and is threatening your child, it's on. You're not going to sit there. You don't sit there and you worry about, well, I could be accused, though. Am I legally obligated to retreat here? A parent, and again, if you don't have kids, this probably doesn't mean anything to you, but the listeners who do have children or have had children, you know, that maybe are grown now, they will understand this. That flips an entirely different parameter switch in your head. If you get stabbed, you're thinking, okay, well, if I get stabbed in the arm, that will stop the knife for a moment, and then I can take that time to, shall we say, disable the attacker here. You're not worried. You're not worried about damage to yourself. You're damn sure not worried about the cops or what the government might say. You're going to disable that person. It's another threat tier level when your child is threatened versus something material like your car or something like that. You're going to necessarily put your life in danger for your car, but for your kids, you will. And what do we really have here? At the end of the day, what do we have? They're going to call you names. They're going to threaten you. You know, it's words and people have got to quit being afraid of these words. And another thing here, as it points out here in the story, the Welsh child care workforce is overwhelmingly white. And I guess they're going to do it. They're going to go, well, how many of these workers? I'm sure some of them aren't. I mean, let's be realistic. These things, they can make these pronouncements all they want. And, you know, I can imagine people at a particular daycare center and the parents are talking with the staff there and the staff are looking around going, yeah, we're not doing any of that. They hand this stuff down and we have to sign off and say, yeah, we do it. But we're not enforcing that here, you know. And so, you know, it's kind of a much to do it or nothing. And I'll get to another point as the story goes on, but we haven't got to the point I want to make yet. So I'll hold off on that. So I'm sure there's a number of, you know, local community daycare centers that, yeah, they receive these directives, but the staff that work there, the parents, they know each other, and they're going to say, yeah, no, don't worry about it. We're not reporting little Tommy to the bobbies for a racist incident. So a lot of this is kind of blown up. These stories are rage bait, and you always have to recognize them as such, as rage bait. So, you know, there is going to be some nuance here. There's going to be small community daycares that, yeah, they receive these directives. And at the end of the day, staff's like, yeah, we're not going to be doing that. I mean, yeah, sure. We have to sign off the thing, maybe go take an hour long class to explore white privilege and understand what white privilege is, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, when the staff go and work the kids, they're just looking after the kids. So, you know, there's nuance there to be had. But if you have a overwhelmingly white staff there and they're all on board with this, that too, that that's part of the problem, you know. And people just going along with whatever. I can't imagine working at a place like this and the government says, hey, you've got to make sure that, you know, if one of these kids says something, you got to report them to the police. I would just be like, that's unreasonable. You know, regardless of the racial demographic of the kids, you know, if I was working at a daycare center or a kindergarten and, you know, a 7-year-old or something, you know, a 5-year-old little black kid was acting up and acting wild in class, I'm not calling 911. I'm not calling the cops to come haul this kid in. There's been incidences where stuff like that has happened and it's been viewed appropriately as ridiculous. If you can't handle a child, why do you even have this job? So, yeah, it's it's just crazy. I can't imagine working there and actually implementing this. So I would be curious what percentage of the staff are actually implementing these things and how much of this is just more government nonsense that comes down that people sign off and say, yeah, I took the class. But in reality, maybe it's not being all that enforced.
Well, you would hope that that's the case. You know, you'd hope that people would look at that and say, well, I haven't got the time to do that, and take it in the way that perhaps it's just the Welsh government trying to cover its own behind, so that if there is a so-called racist incident that does get reported, they can say, well, we did advise the daycare centre workers that they should report it to the police. It's not our fault they didn't do it, even though it's a completely ridiculous thing to ask school teachers to do anyway. Getting back to the article here, childcare staff are instructed to ensure that child spaces contain books, dolls, posters, and other items that are suitably diverse and which make their anti-racist stance visible all the way. Now, at that mention of the word dolls there, I thought, well, I'll just have a look at this because I'm sure I can remember that there was a study done at some time ago and it showed that children don't actually want any black dolls. That's the black children don't really want black dolls to play with. So I typed in to Google, study shows children reject black dolls, and sure enough, the answer tells me the results showed the majority of black children preferred the white dolls to the black dolls. The children would say the black dolls were bad and the white dolls looked most like them. To the clerks, these tests provided proof segregation gave African-American children a sense of inferiority. Well, it's not that. Is that they look at the white dolls and they think, well, the white doll looks prettier. The white doll looks more beautiful than the black doll. That's why they want to play with them. It's objective beauty. This is why fair skin has always been seen as beautiful. That's why the word fair is seen as a good thing, because it means fair skin. This is why you have a multi-billion dollar industry in skin whitening creams. It's not because black people have been programmed to see themselves as inferior. It's because the white female has always been seen as the epitome of beauty, and it is objectively beautiful. And I think the fact that they want to play with these dolls is that white children want to play with white dolls that look like them, and the black children would rather play with white dolls because they look better to them. than black dolls. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. It isn't because they've been programmed to see themselves as inferior. It's just natural. So, I mean, what is the point of putting black dolls in there in a nursery that's going to be 95% white, and the children are going to be looking at these dolls and thinking, well, they don't look anything like me, do they? Why would I want to play with this doll? It's not me. I don't even know what this is, because most of these children, if they don't actually live in the cities, they will never have seen black children before anyway. So it will just be something completely odd to them to see a black doll instead of a white doll. But it gets even worse than that. They say they want to make their anti-racist stance visible all the way, down to even what available snacks there are at the centre, which means that they have to have halal snacks and perhaps insects. Additionally, it suggests to workers that toileting practices vary across cultures, asserting these practices may be very different from your own, but it does not make them unsanitary or incorrect. Really. What about toilet practices in India then, when they just go outside in the field, effectively, and you have fields just full of squatting Indians reading the newspaper and talking to one another while they go to the toilet out in a field, and where they don't use toilet paper to wash themselves afterwards? I could hardly consider that to be hygienic or even sanitary. But it says here that even something like that is not unsanitary or incorrect. Well, it is different. It's just the way that Indians are used to going to the toilet in India, but it's certainly not the way that they should be using the toilet over here in Britain, is it? Yet they appear to be saying here that you can't condemn that as being unsanitary. I mean, how ridiculous is that? And that's just one particular toilet practice. There are all sorts of toilet practices around the world which are very, very unsanitary. But in the interest of political correctness, these daycare centres are supposed to say, oh, well, no, that's not incorrect. So it's not incorrect if the child goes outside and squats in the playground then? I mean, that's what some of these children would be used to doing in their own countries. And it's just ridiculous, this, isn't it, when you look at it like that? Grandpa, what do you make of this bit?
Well, they have words. This is what they have. And it's always important. You always have to remember, these people, they use words. Words are weaponized. The rest of us normal people, we use words to communicate. We use words to try to understand and convey ideas. And we always have to remember that people that push this sort of thing, they're not using words the same way we do. They're using the words are weaponized. So it's always important to pay attention to the words. It's akin to like a form of sorcery or something. I call them word spells, you know, like this here. That they got to be sure all other, you know, the other items are quote unquote suitably diverse. What does that mean? According to who? Suitably, what constitutes suitably diverse? Because you read that and you think, well, it almost sounds reasonable. If you have a daycare that, say, you have, just to make it simple, you have 50% black children, 50% white children, and you think suitably diverse would mean you would have, you know, some black, you know, you're using dolls as an example, you'd have, you know, half the dolls, you know, you have some black dolls in there and some white dolls, so the kids can pick whichever ones they want to. It's not what they mean. Suitably diverse according to who? What's the definition? These people never, if you ever start, and of course, this is just guidelines that have been put out, so there's no one to really confront on it. But if you have the chance, if you ever, you know, when people have a chance to interact with these people, like if there's a public comment section, you know, deal where they have a town hall type meeting or something, always, always try to push them on definitions. We just want it to be suitably diverse. Hold up. What does that mean? Define that suitably. Who determines what is suitably diverse? What does that mean? Because they will run away. I can guarantee they will, because you're not supposed to ask those questions. Same thing with make their anti-racist stance visible all the way. What does that mean? What does racist mean in this context? Define it. I see that you see these terms thrown around, anti-racist, racist this, racist that. And virtually never is anyone said, ever told to define that. We don't have an actual functioning media, so the media that write these articles, they never take these people and say, we want you to define racist for us. What does that mean? That is throwing holy water on the vampire, because they can't. If they do, if they define what they mean by racist, then the whole jig is up. That's why they use these terms. They throw them out there and they depend on no one ever questioning them. What do you mean by racist? So, because we have to know, if it's anti-racist, what do you mean? Define racism for us. You know, what do you mean by that? And it is, it's kryptonite to these agenda people, these people that push this sort of thing, because they don't want to define. They want to throw these terms and they count on people not questioning it. And then, of course, you get into the toilet practices. I mean, again, that's just disgusting. I mean, you say, what, if the kid craps in the middle of the floor, you're just supposed to shrug it off and say that's okay. Again, these are guidelines and these are, you know, things being pushed down. I really question how much of this is actually, actually being enforced. You know, a lot of these stories, again, you look at who they're aimed towards. And I think as I read a story like this, and I don't think this is aimed towards an audience. When a story gets written like this, this is not aimed towards an audience that's supportive of this, that's going to read this and go, yes, finally, yes, this is what we need to be doing. What's the purpose of the article, in other words? You have to ask yourself, you have to question everything. And you ask, what's the purpose of the story? Is this aimed towards an audience that is going to read it and go, wow, this is a great thing, I'm so on board with this? Or is the entire purpose of this article aimed at an audience? Like I say, it's rage bait. It's aimed towards an audience that's going to read it and, you know, be outraged by it and to feel like, oh, well, there's nothing I can do and I'm helpless. It's demoralization. You have these demoralization rituals, these humiliation ritual type of things. It's a demoralizing article. It's a rage bait article. And is actually, I think articles like this particular one, is targeted not towards people who are going to look at it and it's a great thing. It's targeted at people that are going to be outraged by it and angry and feel helpless and all of those negative emotions that go along with it. And in that sense, it's not necessarily even informative as it is just emotionally manipulated. You want to be careful not to invest your emotional energy into some of this stuff. And look at it, see it for what it is, and question all the time. What do these words mean? Why are they telling me this? Why are they telling this audience this? What reaction are they looking for, and why are they looking for it? Because, you know, you use the term, we hear the term psyop thrown around all the time. We are constantly subjected to psychological operations in a story like this, in a lot of sense, the word is a psychological operation. So don't fall for it. You know, just look at it in the context and question, and don't get emotionally involved in these things. I think it goes a long way, you know, and protecting your own sanity in these clown world times.
Well, I think it does a good job of waking people up to just how anti-white the system is. If it's telling you that your children should be reported to the police for wanting to play with a white doll instead of wanting to play with a black doll. I mean, it says there they need to make their anti-racist stance visible all the way down. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means they need to make their anti-white stance visible all the way down, doesn't it? It means they need to have Black Lives Matter pictures everywhere, which I've noticed the Welsh government do in all the museums that I've been to. They now have Black Lives Matter displays in old museums that are supposed to do with old Welsh life, when there certainly weren't any black people in Wales at the time. It means that they need to put anti-white slogans up talking about white privilege and unconscious bias. That's what it means by making this stuff visible. And the more visible they make it, the better it is, really, because it wakes people up to just how anti-white everything is. I think this is partly the reason why the Labour Party just lost effectively in these local elections in Wales. It's because of doing things like this. Getting back to the article here, use this range of resources daily to give children the opportunity to explore diversity in a positive, supportive, and playful way, the guidelines reportedly read, per the Telegraph. It's completely negative, though, isn't it? It's all about punishing white children for not thinking in the ways that they're being told to think by the government. That's hardly going to be a positive or playful thing for these children, is it, to be reported to the police? Or if they're not reported to the police, to just be disciplined anyway. The guidelines are part of the broader ongoing efforts of Wales' leftist government to achieve an, quote, anti-racist nation, close quotes, by 2030. Launched in 2024, the programme says it is moving Wales towards building an inclusive and equitable society for all our black, Asian and minority ethnic people and communities in Wales. Well, I mean, that really just shows that they don't understand what the word nation means. They don't really understand what the word racist means, or to be anti-racist. I mean, if you wanted to really be anti-racist, then you would stop there being racial conflicts. And the way to do that would be to segregate the races. Then you could have no more racist conflicts, no more racism. Nation is a group of people that is related to one another by birth. So that means that they share the same ancestors. I mean, what has that got to do with some kind of ideology, some political ideology like anti-racism? What does that have to do with having a group of people that are all connected to one another through family ties, which is what a nation is? And don't forget the fact that Wales is only 95% black and minority ethnic, white anyway. It's only 5% black and minority ethnic, and that's only in the cities. So why are they trying to turn the whole of Wales into this anti-racist society? Is that really necessary? I mean, the Welsh are very welcoming people. They're very friendly people. They're not racist people. They are quite nationalist-minded. I think they would be quite insulted at being told that they're racist and that there has to be all of these anti-racist programs put in place to stop their evil racism from harming black and minority ethnic people. I think it's very insulting to the Welsh people what the government are doing here. Grandpa, what do you make of this bit?
Well, I was sitting here while you're going through this section, and I was thinking in the context of how much the system and the people that push this sort of thing, how much we see them use projection all of the time. And, you know, for instance, people like us, you get accused of hatred, you know, promoting hate. And I was sitting here considering, knowing how much they do projection, perhaps one of the other, purposes of programs like this and a story accompanying this is to actually incite hatred between groups of people. You know, it sounds counterintuitive because look at the word spells they throw around. They want to promote inclusivity, inclusive and equitable society. Again, more word salad. No definitions attached. They throw these magic words around and you're just supposed to absorb them without questioning. And, oh, yes, we just want everybody to be more inclusive. And I would say a point could be made. This is actually one of the intentions is to stir up hatred between groups. You know, you read a story like this and, you know, with all of their talk about, you know, oh, we want inclusivity. This is not the sort of thing you do to encourage different racial groups to get along because, you know, yes, we could talk about, you know, problems of multicultural societies, but in the reality is in the West, you have multicultural society. I mean, that's what you've got. That you deal with the hand you're dealt with if you're playing poker. And this sort of thing is not the way you get groups of people to get along. You know, I find my life experience is there's a whole different thing when you're talking about group behaviors or when you're talking about things on the macro and dealing with people on a one-on-one individual basis, even, you know, people from different ethnicities and different races. It's a whole nother thing. You know, you can usually find some kind of common ground and get along. People left to their own devices will get along. You do wind up with group conflicts. I'm not saying, you know, multiculturalism is a great idea and works, but I'm saying you do, of course, wind up with, you know, friction between groups of people. But individuals dealing with individuals is a different story. And I do. I see a lot of the, I think a lot of the, darker purposes of these sort of initiatives, these sort of programs, and then these stories being promoted and put out there is to stir up tension. You know, a divided society is a lot easier to control because people are so busy at each other's throats that they're not, individual or even in separate ethnic groups looking at the system and saying, man, they're sure not doing a lot for us. You know, they're sure not. It seems like a lot of people at the top are lining their own pockets. You know, I for instance, just to use the UK as an example, you know, you could have white people who are unhappy with the system, and you could have Muslim people who are unhappy with the system look together and say, wow, the way the government is, reacting to Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protesters and the way they're being treated sure is a lot different than the way, you know, they treat everybody else. You know, and you could actually, people could potentially have some common ground on seeing how the system is illegitimate. They throw this stuff in here. Part of the purpose, I think, of these sort of stories is to make sure they keep a little fuel thrown on the fire. Don't pay attention to the words they use. They're liars. You know, they use these words to make you think, well, their real goal is to make sure, you know, to force everybody to get along. I think the reality is they want that tension. They want people looking at the other and with distrust and anger and bitterness, because it keeps the people easier to manipulate, you know, to rule over in the system. And again, I'm not doing, you know, the whole not everybody, you know, or saying multiculturalism works. I'm saying there is a purpose to these. And we're going to get to the final purpose in the next segment that we've been holding off on. But there's a purpose. And I, you know, a lot of what they say is projection, and they project hatred on everybody else that points out the faults of the system. Oh, you're promoting hatred. You're a hate crime, or you're all of this. And the reality is they use hate. Don't kid yourself. They use hate as a targeted manipulation tool to make sure that the people are stay in place, are a lot easier to rule over and keep in line.
It's divide and conquer, isn't it? I mean, it's a very old tactic. Import an ethnic group completely different to the one that's there. That divides the nation up, so it's a divided nation. And then you tell one ethnic group that it's been oppressed by the other ethnic group for centuries, and that's the reason why it doesn't do so well in society. And then it breeds resentment from one ethnic group to the other group. And then you tell the other group that they are privileged and that they have enslaved the other group. They're responsible for all the evils of the world, and get them to start feeling self-guilt. And you end up with a fractured society, and with each group blaming the other group instead of blaming the people that are responsible for creating the situation in the first place, which is the government. It's not the immigrants. It's the government that have caused this problem. It's immigration that is the problem, not the immigrants themselves. In that same year, that's the year that the Welsh government said it wanted to be anti-racist by 2030, the Welsh government funded and launched an anti-racist set of guidelines for local child care centres, developed by organisations including the Diversity and Anti-Racist Professional Learning Organisation, the DARLP. Since 2021, the DARLP has reportedly received more than £1.3 million from the Welsh government. Former Welsh Mental Health and Early Years leader Jane Bryant praised DARLP and CWLWM's work to progress the Welsh Government's anti-racist plan goals during a 2024 conference, where she stressed that her work included embedding anti-racist principles, the curriculum and provision, training educators and practitioners to recognise and challenge their own biases, and creating environments that celebrate diversity and promote inclusion, which promotes the exclusion of white people in order to celebrate diversity and celebrate the other. And you can see that they were giving a lot of money to this. Grandpa, you wanted to bring something up about this final quote here. What was it that you wanted to point out?
Well, we see it right here. Bingo. There's literally the money shot. It's another money scam. This is something. $1.3 million for what exactly? To come up with these guidelines? I got to bang these guidelines out in 30 minutes. You're going to pay me $1.3 million for, let's string it out and say an hour's worth of work? Where does this money go? See, it always comes back. These are money scams. There's groups, these groups. Who's running these groups? How was the money? How was the money distributed? Who got the money? Where did it go? You never are ever going to get an answer to those questions. And it always comes down to that. I always say our economies here in the West are basically now we're reduced to various money scams. People are just trying to run some kind of money scam. And there it is. Bingo, $1.3 million. And mostly what I'm seeing is these guidelines. That's good money. Like I say, if you're going to pay me $1.3 million, well, pounds sterling. I'm sorry, I say dollars. Pounds sterling. Although there's not a lot of sterling involved in that. But anyway, I'm going to keep using dollars because it's easier for me. $1.3 million an hour. And all I got to do is come up with some of this sort of gibberish. That's good money. Where's the money go? Who's getting paid? How much of that money gets circulated back into the pockets of the politicians that voted for it? This is how the entire system works in the West. It's all a money scam. And like I said, there at the end, I was waiting for the end to get to that part because when I read through this article before, I'm like, there it is. You know, I'm always looking for the money shot and I'm seldom disappointed. $1.3 million for what? And where did it go? Who got it? How about an accounting of this group to see how was that money spent exactly? That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to have what? A piece of paper to show for it? Some guidelines? Some suggestions? A bunch of word salad embedding anti-racist principles? Come on. It's a money scam. These people are lining their pockets with government money, with taxpayer money. It is. It's another, at the end of the day, it always comes with somebody's getting paid. And you can see they're getting paid. I'd love, just once, I would love to see one of these groups that get this money. I would love to see an actual accounting audit done to see where every dime went, who got it, whose pocket it wound up in. You're never going to see that because I can guarantee a certain percentage of that money winds up back in the politicians who vote for it, back in their pockets, committee members line their pockets. At the end of the day, it's always a money scam. And there it is at the end of the articles, Finn. We got it. We got the money shot, as I like to call it. Literally, it's the money shot. They're lining their pockets on everybody's misery.
Well, the diversity and inclusion officer is one of the highest paid positions you can get in modern society. And the job basically entails seeing how many more brown people you can get working at the company. It's not based on merit. It's not based on whether there is an increase in the company's profits. The whole point of it is just let's see how many white people we can replace with non-whites. That's essentially what it is. This is what our children are being indoctrinated with. And thankfully, the Welsh government are no more. We'll wait to see whether it will be Plaid Cymru, who probably won't do any better, or Reform. As I say, I'll just finish up with saying Reform have done extremely well in England. They topped the polls, basically, in England. Apparently, they've done very well in Scotland and very well in Wales, but we don't know just yet. Anyway, let's hope that we don't actually see any toddlers arrested for hate crimes and that more parents become aware of this and think again before sending their child to the government-approved daycare centre. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much to listeners for listening. I'll be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.